Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Did you watch cartoons growing up? Did you watch the robotic ones like Transformers
and
stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I was Bugs Bunny guy. All right. Patriots had their final practice this morning.
Hey, we want some birthday cake. Hey, we want some red balloons. Hey, we want shenanigans. Hey, we want a can of squirt. I like bowling.
Now, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray here in studio, John Wallach, and Dan Roach from WBZ-TV. He's going to be classing up tomorrow night's Patriots-Titans game with Matt Chatham right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The game will also be televised on WBZ-TV. And Roachy joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Dan, you ever had a gun pulled on you?
No, but I carried a gun around New Orleans for a night.
Really?
Yes. Way back when the Patriots made the Super Bowl in 96, I was with a former Patriot, and we went out to dinner. We had to go. He goes, let's stop by this guy's apartment. He's a buddy of mine. And we were leaving the apartment, and he said, hey, can you take this bag and hold on to it? And I said, sure. So we went to dinner. It's a big group of us. And then we went out a couple places, listened to some music, and we're out. Went back to the apartment, and he says, okay, give me the bag. And took it, and then we left. And he said, you know what was in that bag? And I said, no. And I said, he said, yeah, $25,000 in cash and a gun. I said, what? And I said, what the heck? I said, why did you give it to me? He goes, because I knew you wouldn't ask any questions, you wouldn't look in it, and everybody trusts you, so nobody would take it from you. I know that. So.
People used to stop you at the airport before 9/11, right?
He's like the mule. Roachy's the mule.
Jesus. Hey, can you smuggle this in your rear end? Don't ask any questions for me, Roach. He's like, right, there's a Midnight Express situation with Dan Roach.
Sure, why not? What do you need, you know?
Sure.
All right, so
okay. Oh my God, the visual, how amazing, not amazing, it would be awful for you, but how unbelievable would it be if Dan got busted, and of all people, Dan Roach is on the news for being a drug runner and being maybe a arms dealer
Boston
or whatever the hell was in there.
Found with gun
but of all people,
cash.
Dan Roach, like you couldn't even write that.
Right. Pam would be like, is he crying when they show me on TV? Is he really crying like a baby? Is he crying right now?
How many packs of smokes do you think you'd be traded for in prison?
Yeah, I know. Well, I'd ask for baseball cards, the vintage ones, see if we had any of that luck. I don't know.
Hold on, Dan. Before we get to the Patriots, obviously, you're in the barbecue capital of the world. Where'd you eat dinner?
I did. I ventured out and went to a place called Martin's Barbecue Joint, which is one of the famous ones here. And it was outstanding. Mark Capello, you guys know him, the 98.5 Patriots and Bruins producer. He ate, it looked like an animal. He had 4 pounds of ribs.
Oh.
And it was, and I said, good Lord. He goes, I'll have it. I can bring it back to the room. I have a refrigerator and everything else. And I look over, gone. And I said, you don't have to eat for the rest of the trip. But it was good. I had barbecue, so I ventured out. I've been venturing out a little bit here. I went to see a minor league game last night for a few innings.
Of course you did.
The Nashville Sounds, which was awesome. So when I was in Michigan last week, I went to the University of Michigan to see the Big House and the campus and everything like that. So I'm kind of trying to branch out a little bit in my life. It's been good.
How effing hot was it at that minor league game in Nashville yesterday?
Well, no, it was so effing hot at the practice that when we got to the game, it was kind of like later on to the night, and it was beautiful. It was perfect weather to watch a baseball game. And the kid had a no-hitter through six. His kid, Joe Palumbo. Keep an eye on him in the Texas Rangers system. 30th round draft pick in 2013.
Right, well,
the left-hander throws gas.
Do you keep your own score at a minor league game?
I forgot my scorecard.
Well, that sucks. That just ruins the whole experience, doesn't it?
Wait.
Yes,
you had your scorecard on you on a football trip?
Yeah, when I went to, I always have it with me. I have a baseball and my scorecard in the backpack that I have. And I went to Las Vegas to visit my son, who's working for a minor league team, in June after the Bruins' whole run to take a few days off. And I have the five scorecards that I kept for myself. The Las Vegas Aviators and my son's team, the Sacramento River Cats, played five games. So it's pretty cool.
By the way, I got a tweet. Give me stories of hashtag strapped Roachy all day long. Dan Roach carried a gun. Dark Side Dan, this is a movie. No question. All right, so Dan, you've been covering these practices. Anytime you hear that there's like a fight at any kind of preseason practice or anything like that, you got to take it with a grain of salt. And I want to just hear from somebody who was there. How big was the fight that happened yesterday between the two teams?
It was like, put it this way, there are hockey fights and there are NBA fights. It was an NBA fight where there's just pushing and shoving and everything else. It was in between. So I think it was started by Stephon Gilmore and the kid Davis from Tennessee got into it a little bit. And then the McCourty brothers came over to help out, which sounds like a wrestling phrase, doesn't it? The McCourty brothers came over the top rope.
Sure.
And helped out. And then it was just pushing and shoving and chatting, and then they were quickly separated. So it wasn't bad at all, and it was just can I just tell you that those were probably – yesterday's practice was probably my favorite practice in all the training camps and all the joint practices that I've covered, because we had basically – we could stand on the field, and we were right behind Bill Belichick as he was working his defense. And if you ever think this guy wants to stop coaching – you just had to watch 5 minutes of that. He's talking to every player. He's chatting them up, saying, you need to do this over here. And then you realize, with that secondary, how much communication goes on amongst those guys. And I talked to Devin McCourty afterwards, and he said, yeah. He goes, now you know why it took Jason a while to catch up, because they're constantly talking. It was almost like it being on a – and, John, you relate to this. Same with you, Rich, is that it almost like being behind a basket, watching a team play a zone defense switch or a man-to-man and saying switch, that type of stuff. It was really cool to see.
Okay, how much is Jerod Mayo doing out there? Because, I mean, there was a kind of a neat article we talked about it, that Tommy Curran was speculating that he thinks, you know, it's an early prediction to make, but that if the Crafts had their way – when it came time for Belichick to leave, Jerod Mayo would seem more than likely to be the guy that they would want to take over as the head coach, just because of there's a bunch of different factors. I know he hasn't coached a game yet, but it's almost unprecedented how much power they're giving him already, isn't it?
Yes. Excuse me. I got a frog in my throat here. Sorry. Another thing buried.
That's what happens when you swallow giant baggies of white powder.
Yeah.
Right. At least I don't do what Joe Murray does on his way in. But
did you do it when you woke up, though, Dan? That's the whole argument. When you woke up this morning, did you have some?
Right. But no, so to me, I can see what Tommy's saying, because from day one of camp, Jerod Mayo has had the headset on, and he's been barking out signals to the to Van Noy, who's wearing the helmet, and communicating and signals, and he's leading the cheers and the count. So I immediately see him elevating quickly this year to that guy, to almost being Brian Flores' role in a short period of time as the defensive coordinator, calling the signs and everything else on the sidelines, because he has such a deep understanding of this defense, and because he's so relatable to those players, because they were all with him and they all respect the heck out of him because of what he brought to the locker room as a player. So yeah, I could easily see that. It will take time, but whenever Bill decides to step down, I wouldn't be surprised if he was a candidate, if he continues to develop the way that he's developing right now.
And the players love him too, obviously. The Commanders, because a lot of them played with him, but doesn't he also have that thing, as I said, you know, we've talked to him several times, and it just seems that anyone who speaks about him, he's just got that likability and relatability that you can't buy, and that is kind of one of the best traits of a coach or a guy who can command a team of men.
Yeah, and most importantly, to the men, as you just mentioned, Rich, that's where it's most important, that personality, that ability to grab their attention, that ability when you say something, they listen, and that ability when you get upset, here's why, but also cheering them on. You can see he's got a ton of those qualities, and what I like about him too, he still has that quality of like that sparkle in his eye, love of the game, where you can quickly see that like he's loving just being a part of what's going on out there, almost like he's getting that, you know how guys say it's so hard to retire and to let the game go. it's almost like he stepped back into a Patriots uniform, and let's put it like he had to leave the game because of injuries. He doesn't have to get injured anymore, and it almost seems like it's rejuvenated him and refreshed him in life. And I don't know him other than, like you said, to listen to him in interviews and things like that, but it does sound like he's in a pretty good place right now as a Patriots coach.
Hey, Dan, we saw Brandon Bolden featured last week in the preseason game number one. What's the deal with Damian Harris at the moment? I know he's dealing with a hand injury, but do you see him being featured tonight at running back? And what's going on? What's the latest on N'Keal Harry?
N'Keal Harry apparently went home, and that didn't surprise me. I was surprised he was here only because but I think Bill obviously wanted him to just keep learning the offense. But, he's been battling with that right now. I think it's a hamstring. He's been battling with it since he injured it in that joint session last week in Detroit. He was putting the uniform on here and kind of walking around a little bit like that, but he's noticeably limping. To me, shut him down and get him ready for the season opener if you can. But, a hamstring is a lingering thing. He's trying to be that tough guy. You can tell because he's the first-round pick. To me, I'm just like, shut it down. You're done. And we'll see what happens with him. I think Harris will be featured this week because he was getting a lot of reps yesterday along with Brandon Bolden. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if, we see the regulars for one or two series, and then we see a lot of a guy like Damian Harris to go along with Bolden. And then, as you guys were discussing earlier, as far as the wide receiver core is concerned, it's going to be, yesterday with Brady out there in the ones, it was Gunnar Olszewski as well as Dontrell Inman and Braxton Berrios to go with Watson and White. So they're banged up as can be at the wide receiver position. So that's going to be interesting to watch. But again, Brady made it work. And there was a great teachable moment that you could see right in front of us yesterday in a two-minute drill, where Brady threw a pass to Berrios, and he completed it over the middle. A beautiful throw and a beautiful catch. It would have been a touchdown, but they basically brought it back, and they kept running the two-minute drill. And the next play, he didn't cut. And we all know how Brady wants to be on the same page. Brady thought he was going to cut over the middle and go deep, and he didn't. He stopped. And Brady screamed as loud as he could, "Braxton!" And just all the way back to the huddle, Brady, you could see him animated and yelling at Berrios and everything. The next play, Berrios made a cut. Brady hit him. Beautiful play. Brady down there, headbutting him and everything else. So it was pretty cool to watch Brady, who continues to show great patience with these guys because he knows he's going to need them. Once, he'll have Edelman back, but with a lot of these guys getting banged up, he's going to need them as he goes along here this year.
Now to Dan Skipper. Dan Skipper era at left tackle is finally apparently over. Isaiah Wynn looks like he's the guy. Is he the guy? And because of that, how much will Brady play tonight?
I think Brady will play one or two series. If you go back and look at Brady's past, in the last 6 years, he's played game two of the preseason five out of the six years. And in those five out of the six, he's played two series except for the suspended year. That's when he didn't play. Jimmy Garoppolo played a lot because of Brady being suspended for four games. But he's basically played two series each and every time. And then last year, I think he played like six because he didn't take part in joint practices. They didn't have any joint practices. So when there are joint practices, he plays two series. So I would expect probably the same thing out of Brady this time along, just to get the feel of getting back in the uniform and getting back out on the field and feeling game situations. So that's as far as what we'll see. And then I think you'll probably see when, I'm not sure, they may be very cautious with him and keep going cautious, but I think we're going to talk to him in our production meeting a little bit later on today and maybe get a better feel for where he's at. But he's certainly progressing. He looks good. And, I think the Dan Skipper era, at least for now, will be on hold a little bit as far as the Pats left tackle situation is concerned.
Did you hear us play your live 98-mile performance from the Wilbur where you won the whole damn thing? Did you get to hear that on Tuesday on the anniversary show?
Greatest moment of my life.
Listening back to it, I forgot how much
I can't believe I did it.
Dude,
you know what I mean? I was like, you guys were talking about Zoe, and I remember we were both so nervous, and Zoe would, Zoe doesn't get nervous about anything. You guys know him really well. We were both in the back, like, I can't believe we're going to do this. And I was in the parking garage next door for an hour, just playing the song over and over again, trying to get the lyrics down. And
well,
I
you nailed
rapped,
it.
You know, and I had the big cue cards on the floor. And then my wife says, she called me because I told her it was on, and I said, can you believe that? She goes, as bad as you thought it was, and it didn't sound as bad on the radio. It sounded much better on the radio. She goes, in person, it was one of the most horrific things I've ever seen in my life.
Right, I mean, like, the awkwardness of everyone right. kind of standing there. And no, yeah. I'll say this much. It was an absolute cluster F, but you stuck the landing. You stuck the landing, and that's all that mattered.
Well, you look who was out there on the stage, too. It's me, it's Wallach, it's Soucy. It's like, the Revenge of the Nerds Part 3. It was
yeah,
like
Sarge
really,
double
really
dipped.
Bad.
I just realized yeah. Sarge double dipped. He tried to get into Zolak's rap where he was already part of yours.
Yeah, well, Sarge, he'll do anything for anybody, you know what I mean? He'll stand in public. If someone says hi to him, he'll stand there for an hour and a half and say hi to them,
He absolutely will. All right, well, you keep moving that product there, Dan Roach.
Jeez.
Be checking your bags next time, and we will talk to you, and hopefully really soon, but good luck.
7 o'clock game. Tomorrow, 98.5, and then you can also watch it on Channel 4 with Soucy, Zolak, and the guys, too. So we got you covered.
The Loveless Cafe. It's a little bit outside of town, but it will be...
Yeah, they're biscuits.
The biscuits are the best I've ever had. They're unbelievable.
I can get free biscuit mix because when someone on the Nashville Sounds hits a home run, you can take your ticket within 24 hours to the Loveless Cafe, and they'll give you a free biscuit mix.
Right, man. Stop going to... Dude, Nashville is like one of the most fun towns to go visit for a couple of
days.
Don't
listen to him, Roach. You stay true to yourself.
There's no need to go to a minor league baseball game.
Oh, they played the Omaha Storm Chasers. How good is that?
I'm sure there's like a ton of excellent up-and-comers on the team. All right, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it, man.
Crack-a-lackin', boys.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Man. I appreciate it. By the way, Sarge just tweeted, "Hi, Roach," with like a waving
emoji.
There you go. Sarge right on top. It's a Sarge salute, I'm sure, emoji style. All right, 617-779-0985.
Get the app.
Check this out.
Get Boston's home for sports at your fingertips. Listen live or download a podcast. 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's an app.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Meatball. Re-record.
You are a dick.
My name is Mark Chevelle.
Berg.
Fantastic.
It's at 3 o'clock.
I have my first Manhattan.
Go Red
Sox. If you're ready for this,
say you're ready for this.
If you're ready for this,
say you're ready for this.
Are you ready for this?
We're ready for this. Are you ready for this?
We're ready for this.
What we just can't miss.
We just can't miss.
What we just can't miss.
With a beat like this.
It's the joint.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray here in studio, and John Wallach and Nick. I thought about your dad this week. Went down over towards TD Garden. I was walking down Causeway and heading over to that. I went to that new night shift place right at the, was it Lovejoy Wharf? Is that what it is? And all over, there's everywhere. 100 years of the St. Anthony's Feast. I guess this is the big one. I didn't realize it was the 100-year anniversary or whatever since they started doing over there in the North End. Nick, come in here real quick because this is something, as a matter of fact, I think one of the first times we talked to Nick's dad, he was getting ready. Matter of fact, when we had him on the show, he wanted us to plug St. Anthony's Feast. Like, he's got such a tie-in to that festival.
There's a feast every weekend this month down there.
St.
Anthony's
like,
is the big one, but there's a feast. And once again, Fred's chair gets sit-in. Yeah. I love it. Attaboy, Nick.
He's not afraid
of the
light.
Take control.
So, okay, so he, how many meatballs does he make for the St. Anthony's Feast?
Oh, he makes a few. He makes a lot.
Hundreds, right?
Hundreds, yeah.
Okay, hundreds. And how long does it take him?
Oh, geez, I don't know.
No, will he start like the beginning of next week for next weekend?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. This is his Super Bowl, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, now, does he go on, like, what's it called when you go completely dark? Like, you just don't want to talk to anybody. You go 0, dark 30, radio silence.
You go completely dark.
He's in the zone.
So he doesn't, you don't call him during this week?
No.
Okay, he's back in the lab again, yo. So he's where does he give out his meatballs?
I have no idea. I mean,
does he have like a card
table? You don't know, he's been doing this for years.
Last year I was like kind of tied up, and I honestly didn't
know.
You're
basically dead.
Yeah, okay. I was basically dead. And
did you make him miss St. Anthony's Feast?
I think so.
Jackass.
Well, yeah.
Stop trying to die and stuff. So what does he usually do? Like, because he makes all these meatballs, but you can't just, like, walk out in the street and hand people a meatball.
No, you kind of can't. Apparently, what he's told me, there's, like, a tent, and he hands out the meatballs. I think there's, like, a designated tent that he goes
but
to.
But what is it for, the tent?
I don't know.
He doesn't just, like, bring his own tent out there and meatballs.
No.
Okay, so this is probably for, like, one of the churches down there, right?
Yeah.
What's the big church there? It's the what's the big one right in the middle? What's the name of the Old North Church? Is it the St. Anthony's Church? It's the one on Hanover.
Okay.
All I know is there's a Catholic church that, God, what the hell's the name of it? Maybe it's St. Anthony's. But you go in there, and it has the creepiest statue I've ever seen in a church. That's saying a lot. I guess there was some saint that plucked their eyes out. And have you been in the church and seen them? So there's a statue, and it's an eyeless saint holding in a plate his two eyes that he had just plucked out.
I see.
Like Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah, pretty much. Like in his hands, like, don't eat the fruit. Sorry, that's a reference.
That's right.
Does he do it with the church? Is that what he does?
He must do it with the church.
All right. So if people want to go like and actually try one of his meatballs and go out and see your dad, that's something that could happen, right?
It could, yes. Okay. Yes.
We got to get your dad on.
He's a celebrity and a half. I mean,
next
I would
week,
say a
right?
Lot of
we
got
yeah. to get your dad on.
A lot of people are going to find Mark Jamilli.
Will you tell your dad that if he doesn't want to come on because he's too busy, I totally understand. We're not going to, I'm not going to bust up his thing. But trust me, his fans would truly love to know where they can indeed find him nestled in at St. Anthony's Feast.
I don't think I have to tell him he is listening. He is on Twitch right now. So,
oh, he is?
Yeah. He's on Twitch every morning.
I would love to hang out with your dad.
It seems like everybody wants to hang out with my dad, not me.
Feed me, Mr. Jamilli. You're leading us down a bad road.
Is it only the weekend, or does it start like on Thursday or something?
I thought it started next week.
Yeah, I could be totally wrong. But is it just the week? Because if it's on Thursday, then I want to hang out with your dad that day.
Okay.
Because next weekend I'm kind of busy, but I love St. Anthony's Feast. I have, and I'm always there by accident. Like I'm always eating in the north and forgetting it's St. Anthony's Feast. And next thing I know, there somebody with a giant like statue of Mary with dollar bills all over it comes walking into your restaurant.
The owner goes, right.
It's in the Godfather scene. But what was weird was that one year I went like two weekends in a row. And it happened twice while I was in the same restaurant. I didn't realize that they have that happens like every weekend for like 3 or 4 weeks in a row.
So wait, you didn't like grow up making meatballs with your old man and like
hand? Well, we didn't live in the North End. We lived in Marshfield and in Norwell and South Shore.
How long has he been doing it?
I think for a while now.
Okay. Is his buddy who like likes to lend out his socks, is he going to be there as
Joey,
well?
Joey Two Recliners.
Joey Two Recliners?
I've wanted to talk to him, but my dad's like, you shouldn't talk to him. I was like, that's exactly why I wanted to talk to him.
he knows too much. Let's go to Mark on line one. This is not Mark Joy. Is it Mark, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? Steak and eggs, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
I know it's a little too late for steak and eggs, but you know. So I used to do the same thing Mark Jamilli does. I belong to the Fisherman's Feast, which is going on right now in the North End.
Okay.
Okay. What he does is he cooks for everybody. It's more or less like an open house. Friends and family come by. He's got tables and chairs set up outside his apartment building. He probably has beer and wine out there. And everybody eats and has a good time. And the saint with no eyes is St. Lucy. She's a woman, and she gave up her sight for Christ.
That's what it is. And you've seen that statue, right?
Yes.
It's creepy as hell.
And I am the one that also carries the Mother Mary on this Sunday that they pin the money on.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Yeah. And that all goes to the church, right?
It goes to the society that puts on the festival.
Okay. So what you're saying
they're all non-profit organizations.
Okay. So the way that you describe it almost sounds like a block party filled with people that you have no idea who they are.
Pretty much. Okay. I mean, back in the day, you knew everybody. Yeah. Now it's mostly out-of-towners and tourists and everything. They come and they spend $10 on a sausage and pepper sandwich.
God, that sounds like nothing better to do than just this Friday go there and just sit down and drink and hang out.
If you guys want to come down this weekend, tonight and tomorrow night, we have a disco party down the Fisherman's Club.
Yeah.
All legal. And the guy spins vinyl, Rich. He spins vinyl.
Oh hell yeah! So this is like Mark Jamilli type people doing disco dancing, correct?
Absolutely, right. Absolutely.
This is a party I want to go to. I can't go this weekend, but I mean, I would give anything to get a report from it.
I will call you on Monday hungover.
All right.
As long as you're a Bee Gees.
I appreciate it, Mark. Did your dad go out dancing? Does he disco dance there?
He rips it up.
Okay, I'm sure he
does. There's no joke.
Steven, what's up? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. My name is Father Stephen LeBlanc. I'm a priest in Boston.
What's that?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, kind of.
Let me try to get you the right way here.
We'll put you on hold. We'll check back with you. Yeah, the statue St. Lucy is just creepy as hell. I've been, you know, obviously was raised Catholic, but, you know, there's some churches that look like stuff out of nightmares. And if you go to Italy, they've got these things called incorruptibles. And a lot of the church, you know what an incorruptible is?
No.
Incorruptible is a body of a saint or some sort of holy person that they believe doesn't decay because it's been blessed by God. And sitting there in front of you is this waxy corpse, and they put it on display. And
so spooky.
It is, dude. It's creepy as hell. And like, you'll randomly go into like one of these churches in the middle of Rome or whatever, and you'll just say, "What is that? Oh, that's an actual dead body that's been there for hundreds of years. That's an incorruptible, and it's like waxy and creepy." I mean,
pardon me while I leave immediately.
Oh yeah,
my God!
As I said, I've been a Catholic my entire life, but I'll be the first to admit they're the inside of some churches that look like the thing of nightmares.
Oh my God! Yes,
that St. Lucy statue. Just every time I go in there, it creeps me out. You know, because there's no subtlety. You know, we know that she plucked her eyes up, but we want you to see them in this plate and her holding it with her blood holes where her eyes used to be. All right, well, we will get to the stack and follow up on what this dude had to say right after this.
Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 95, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And Joe, there's a story that I guess is still kind of ongoing this morning that I don't know how it happened. Can you kind of fill me in the details? There was a ferry, an MBTA ferry, that ran aground in Boston Harbor. What's going on?
So today at Boston Harbor, there's a ferry that goes from Hull to Boston. And I believe a speedboat cut the ferry off, and it is now grounded. There were 84 people on the boat. Two of them have been injured. But yeah, there was a boat this morning that's going from Hull to Boston. It's currently grounded, and I believe they're trying to like get help now and everything like that. But yeah, it somehow got cut off and it got grounded.
And the fog, by the way, was awful this morning that was outside. So I'm sure that might have had something to do with it as well. But I mean, it's okay, when you say ran aground, it didn't get to the shore? Was there just like a spot in the water where, what do they call that? Like a breach in the hull, like above the water line, where something like that happens?
Exactly.
Okay, so they're still stuck in the middle of the water, but they're teetering, I guess, on a piece of high land.
That's pretty much it.
Perfect.
Okay, have they gotten these people off yet?
It shows right now that the Coast Guard is there trying to help, but it says they got cut off. So I guess that's why the whole thing happened. Two injured. That's all I see here, and I do see that the Coast Guard's trying to get people off the boat. Yep. So the Coast Guard's there now trying to help.
And they think it's like a fishing vessel that cut them off, possibly.
Yes. Yeah, and people do this. Like, people go from the South Shore to Boston instead of taking the train or anything like that. And imagine waking up on a Friday. Oh, we could drive in, or we could take the ferry, and we take the ferry, and this is what happens today.
Okay, so I was over near the Charles River yesterday. Not obviously nothing near as big as far as the boats are concerned and things like that as what's going on in the harbor. However, what you have there in the Charles River is you've got a lot of people who are taking like boating lessons, people
sailing.
Who don't really know
yeah,
what they're doing.
Exactly.
And yet there are people who have motorboats on there. This has got to happen all the time where you've got someone who doesn't know the rules and doesn't know what they're doing getting in front of one of these motorboats, or a motorboat, someone not paying attention, and maybe somebody who's on one of those sailboats not being able to control themselves because of the wind and smacking into each other.
Or just kicking up a wake big enough to tip one of those things over.
Sure.
For a guy who doesn't know what he's doing. girl.
Yeah. Who or maybe somebody wake and bakes and, you know, got out
that's
there.
That's right. Before you hop out on the ship.
So I used to work. I used to work right on the Charles, and like even the other night, like something happened. We thought somebody hit an iceberg. We're like out there. What the hell happened to this boat out here? But you're like by yourself out there. Like if something happens to you, like someone has to call someone to find you out there. Like on that side of the Charles. But yeah, it can be scary. And just to pick up on that ferry boat, they mentioned that some places in Hull just run a little bit low in that area. But I'm sorry, about 9:25 today, passengers have been unloaded and on other vessels trying to get off. Now.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, I you know my opinion of the Charles itself, and that is that I won't get in there.
No,
I mean, I think they had like a bacteria warning just like last month.
Well, they said it was like some of the cleanest water. I will never,
never,
ever go in there.
I mean, I'm not making light of this, but I mean, how often do you find
dead bodies?
Like bodies. Okay. How about this? Just as an experiment. I want you to walk down to the Esplanade, and I want you to take a look at what's washed up on the shore.
Yes.
It is condoms. Gross. It is needles. I mean, it is disgusting, the things that wash ashore there.
Yep.
So I see these people having romantic gondola rides. I'm like, don't put your hand in that water, man.
Don't do it.
There's some gross stuff in there. It's like
when the Red
condom
Sox,
soup.
When the Red Sox won in 2004, people were swimming in the Charles River trying to get to the
ducks. Insane. And you know what? As you said, there are people who swear by it. But, I mean, I think there was an actual bacteria warning that happened maybe a week ago. But I don't know how people don't continue to get smacked around, you know, just running into it. Maybe they do all the time. I've never actually seen it happen. But I just see them get so close. And everyone's learning how to
Little Bobby out there. He's 8 years old. He's out there with his dad.
Sure.
Just trying to learn how to become a salesman.
I'll drive the Natick, go to Lake Constituent.
Nothing wrong with that. A lot of people do that.
Well, if the XFL is looking to launch things with a big bang, they surely didn't do it yesterday when they announced that Landry Jones has become the first player to sign with the brand new league. They announced in a press release that, yes, if you're saying, scratch your head and go, Landry Jones, I knew that name from somewhere. He was the former Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback who played there for a little bit when Roethlisberger got injured. They plan to sign 7 more quarterbacks by October, and each of the players will be selected by the league's 8 teams. I do find it interesting that he was signed by the XFL by a team.
He's good.
Yeah, but he's not somebody who's going to get you to tune in. I don't care how good you are. You need to have big names if you want people
Kaepernick,
to watch.
You have to sign Kaepernick. You have to sign Tebow. You have to, if Tebow will ever play football again, if he really wants to play football, you got to sign those guys.
Oh, the Kaepernick thing that's going on is really interesting, and I'm not going to get too much into what's happened with Jay-Z. I know Jay-Z signed up to be one of the producers of the halftime show, and there was videotape that came out of the meeting, and people are saying, well, how can you do this when Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job? And he goes, well, this is the solution to the problem that Kaepernick was protesting for. This is part of the solution, and all this, and then his girlfriend back and forth. But the only thing that I find kind of almost insulting is when all of this first went down, Colin Kaepernick, I think, was getting blackballed. He completely got screwed. I think that he was good enough to play in the league. I believe that, you know, I saw all of these backup quarterbacks who were getting signed, and I'm like, dude, Kaepernick's better than all these guys.
No, he's good enough to be a backup.
No.
I don't think he's good enough to start.
I'm saying that when all of this first went down, I truly think he was getting screwed, and he was getting blackballed, and there was obviously people saying, I don't want to deal with any kind of headache that goes with it. The dude completely got screwed. Now, since then, there has been a settlement. He ended up getting a little bit of money. It doesn't make things right. But the fact that we are now 3 years removed and he hasn't played in 3 years and there's people saying that he should be playing is utterly ridiculous. Take somebody away from the game for 3 years and show me just how good that they are. You think that they're ready to go.
Well, that's the thing. It was quiet until he tweeted out the fact that he was still working out. 3 years later, he said, still working out, still ready. And that dredged everything up all over again.
Dude got screwed. I believe dude got blackballed.
Yep, I agree.
But for people now to think that somebody has to sign Colin Kaepernick when he hasn't played for 3 years is ridiculous.
I think it's now old, but last year when Washington lost Alex Smith.
Oh, even last year I was like,
Mark Sanchez.
Seattle, when they had Russell Wilson banged up, they had plenty of chances.
But now we're 3 years removed.
Yeah.
And I just think at this point, at some point, you have to take a look at what's the reality of somebody who stepped away from the game for 3 years to come back in and be effective.
I bet you the XFL takes a look.
Well,
if he wants to play football, he can play
that's
that.
What I'm saying. And you know what? He'll be a star. And he'll make a lot of money.
Probably be good, too.
Because I think that he could walk into that XFL office. And you're right. He probably would be good. But also, once again, he's playing against XFL standards and not NFL standards. Mm-hmm. So he's going to walk into that room. And if I was him, I would ask for the moon. I would ask for everything because that's a name. That's a name that kicks
that's
off your
I'm
league.
Saying.
And I'm trying to think of
Vince
other names of people who aren't
stupid.
Playing.
That I'm you could... sure he's made that phone call.
He's a name. Tim Tebow is a name.
Yeah. Yes. Manziel's interesting, even though they kind of already crapped on him.
But he's interesting. Yeah. Get him. Sign him. Throw him in there. See what he does. And you know what? But that's a name. That's somebody I would tune in to see.
If you
Johnny
sign
Manziel.
All three of those guys, then you have
you got a star.
Major, a major
Landry Jones ain't going to do it.
I'll throw another. Like I think Terrell Owens would be interested. Like that guy's in his 40s. Still
sign
wants
him.
To play.
I'll watch
Chad
Terrell
Johnson,
Owens.
Maybe.
I don't care about Chad Johnson. I don't think he's any good. See, but Terrell Owens, you want to. There's party that goes. See what this guy's got.
Yeah.
You know? You know, he's kind of got that big three type of feeling. Like when you see, you know, when they take like an older player like Greg Oden. Like Greg Oden to me was kind of like, all right, let's see what Greg Oden's got. Maybe he might surprise us all.
Terrell Owens is 45.
Okay, fine.
Yeah,
but he's probably in better shape than any of us.
I think he can still play.
By a million. In better shape than a lot of players, I think, in the NFL, right. too. Maybe not the NFL, but I bet the dude's in great shape. That was like when we saw Jerry Rice. Like, Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice could still play.
Like, that dude,
right
I bet,
now.
I guarantee you
he's
could still.
He's 50. Oh, he
yeah.
could still play.
Could still kill it. But you're going to need to get a name that big. And I think that for Colin Kaepernick, it would be a perfect, perfect place to go is to get him in the XFL. Everyone's talking about the XFL then. And you know what? I think he would be talented enough to be extremely successful in that league. But at just some point when you haven't played for 3 years, I don't know if you can be expected for people to just like you can't feel bad for teams not signing him now. He got screwed and it sucks, but at this point now it's just you gotta
see,
it's kind of over, you know.
What part of this is a cold calculation to keep his name up in lights? I mean Kaepernick has become one of those athletes that has transcended the game, not necessarily for what he did on the field but for other reasons. And, you know, he's kind of tailed off a little bit. We haven't heard much about him, except for that one tweet that brought his name back to the forefront. I don't know if he really wants to play anymore.
But that was a reaction to what Jay-Z was doing.
I understand that.
So, I mean, it's not Kaepernick like he's trying to get his name out there. Well, he's responding to something. I don't blame him for doing it, but the whole people saying he deserves to be in the league is now getting to the point where that's not realistic. You haven't played for 3 years. I don't know anybody at any position who would be able to leave for 3 years and be able to come back. Dude, there's doubts about Rob Gronkowski, whether he'd be effective after being gone for half a season.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, with Kaepernick, I know the XFL mentioned that they want to be, like, very patriotic. So I don't know if the Kaepernick thing would work out anyways.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.